Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind, to take your copies of the Word of God and turn with me to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. In Psalm 90, we are continuing with our Sunday school series of the stewardship of life. And we've been taking a couple weeks to define stewardship, that the idea is that we don't own anything. God owns it all, and that He has placed it in our hand to use for His honor and His glory. And as we have brought up time and time again, that the idea of stewardship of life is us looking at God and having the correct response towards Him. And that it goes beyond just finances. Finances, of course, are part of it, but God has placed much more than finances inside of our hands. Psalm 90 will bring us to another one of those ideas that goes beyond finances. Notice with me in Psalm 90. Psalm 90, and notice with me starting at verse 1. Psalm 90 in verse 1, it says, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction. Thou sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are as but yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as sheep, as with a flood. They are as sheep, and in the morning they are like grass which groweth up, and flourisheth it. In the morning it flourished, and groweth up, and in the evening is cut down and withered. For we are consumed by Thy anger, and by Thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins, in the light of Thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in Thy wrath. We spend our years as a day that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of Thine anger? Even according to Thy fear, so is Thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent Thee concerning Thy servants. O satisfy us early with Thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein Thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let Thy work appear unto Thy servants, and Thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish Thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish Thou it. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, mark a phrase that we find in Psalm 90. Psalm 90 in verse number 12, notice it says, So teach us to number our days. So teach us to number our days. And with this, we see the principle of the stewardship of time. The stewardship of time. We all have a responsibility to use our time wisely, because time is a gift that God has given to us, and that we are going to have to give an account for how well we use this gift of time into our hands. Inside of the context, Psalm 90 is the oldest psalm in the Bible, written by Moses. And it was written in the occasion after the cursing of Kadesh Barnea, where they sent the 12 spies into the land. 2 came back with good reports, the other 10 came back with a bad report, and they discouraged the people. They caused them to respond by disbelief and not by faith. And so God had cursed the people and told them that anyone who is over 20 years old right now, you will not be able to cross into the promised land. You're going to wander for 40 years through the wilderness. And then only those 20 years and younger will be able to cross. That means that they're now under the sentence of death. Imagine that you're 21 years old. You now know you have only 40 years left. That's it. You have a limited amount of time. When you see that you have an expiration date, you start to look at time a little bit different. When you think that you've got plenty of time left, you feel like you could waste it. And so with this, 40 years of wandering, anyone 20 years old or older is going to die in the wilderness. And the next 40 years, an expiration date. And what's going to happen is that there's 2.5 million Hebrew people at this time. They're going to start averaging 1,000 funerals a day. 1,000 funerals a day. This is a march of death. This is a thing where people are surrounded by death. They're under the idea, rightfully so, that they have an expiration date. And so with this, we have this saying in Psalm 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days. See that we only have a limited amount of days left. Why? That we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Teach us to number our days. That word days is important. You'll see the word days several times in this passage. And that's because we live our life from day to day. You do not live your life from year to year. You live it from day to day. What do I do with today? What do I do with today? And what happens is that whatever you use for today, you string it. If you could imagine, remember the old days where you had Fruit Loops and the kids would make necklaces out of Fruit Loops. And they would just put it on one Fruit Loop at a time until they had a necklace that was complete. And there was a limited amount of number that you had on there. All of us have a limited number of days. How do you know if someone has a good life? It's not by how long they live. That doesn't determine how good of a life you have. It's what you do with each of those days that matters. You can live a short life, but use your days wisely, and it was a life worth living. You could live a long time and waste all of those days, and it wasn't a life worth living. You just take it one day at a time and just put it upon that necklace of your life. And when it's all said and done, what did I do with my days? So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Knowing I have a limited number of days, what am I going to do with those days? With that backdrop and with that idea, let's look at this psalm a little bit more that we may apply our hearts to wisdom and use our time wisely because we are stewards of the time God has given to us. First of all, let's see the place God holds in our life. The place God holds in our life. Notice with me in verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. We start off by knowing that these people in Moses' day didn't have a permanent home. They were going from place to place. So what was their permanent place? God. God was their dwelling place. It doesn't matter your location in the world as long as you're in God's will, as long as you're with Him. The most dangerous spot you could be is anywhere outside of God's will. You say, well, I'm safer here than I am over there. Not if you're outside of God's will. The place that is best for you is where God has you, inside of God's will. This is the place we need to give the Lord. He's our dwelling place. We need to abide with Him and be with Him. That makes our days worth living, is the days that we spend with Him. We discover amazing truth. Notice in verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. This is a special name of God. We'll hit this later on this year, El Olam, which means the everlasting God. And this carries the idea when it says from everlasting to everlasting. These are two time frames, from eternity past to eternity future. God is God. God is outside of time. He sees all of time at once. And because he's an all-wise God, because he's at all time at once, do you know what that also means? That your place is where he placed you on that timeline.
Amen.
He put you in this place for a purpose. God didn't make a mistake and say, oh man, I missed it by 100 years. I'm so sorry. God put you in this place in time. He's an everlasting God. He sees everything at once. He's outside of time. He knows what he's doing. He says, this is the time that they need to be in. He's put you in this place of time. You don't need to waste it. So many people say, I wish I wasn't in this time frame. I wish I was there. I would have been better off here. And you're wasting the time that God gave you now. He's put you steward of today, not yesterday. Not necessarily the future, today. This place right now in time is the God time that God has given to you. And we are to use it wisely because we know we can trust him. Verse 3. Thou hast turnest man to destruction and say, return ye children of men. Verse 4 again talks about a time frame. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but yesterday when it is past, as a watch in the night. Now, don't let this verse confuse you. Understand that the Psalms are written from man's perspective. Moses is writing this as a praise unto God and a reminder to the people. Moses is writing this. Is Moses everlasting to everlasting? No. Does Moses feel the passage of time like the rest of us? Absolutely. And so from a man's perspective, this is the statement. For 1,000 years in thy sight. Now, for us, 1,000 years is a long time. Some of you may feel like you're 1,000 years old, but you know, you kind of fall short of that. That's a long time in us. And to take a big block of time for us that's inconceivable for someone to be 1,000 years old, in God's sight, that's nothing. Just a blip. So it's not doing some magical formula trying to say that one day to God is 1,000 years, so therefore we could justify evolution. All right, I just thought I would kick that while we're here. But it's just saying from our perspective, looking at a big chunk of time, it's nothing to God because he's outside of time. He sees it all at once. We get impatient if someone doesn't answer a text within 30 seconds. That's a small little plunk in time. But God sees it all. It says, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but yesterday when it is past, as a watch in the night. A watch, usually there are 4 watches in the night, each of them consisting about 2 to 3 hours each, so that way people could keep their camp safe to keep a good watch. And when it's all said and done, 2 to 3 hours is nothing. I mean, you may feel like it's forever when you're doing it, but when you go to bed the next morning and sleep it off, it was like, okay, that was a thing. It's just gone. Isn't it amazing the things we look forward to, and we look forward and we anticipate it, and then it's there and it's gone.
Yep.
Oh, I was expecting more. It's a short amount of time. So in God's perspective, it's saying, you know, it's there and gone. For us, it's a big deal. But God's outside of time. Again, it's trying to get across. God has placed us in this place in time. And our place is to be with him, to let him guide, because he sees it all. There's a second thing as we walk through this psalm, the purpose God has for us. Not only did he put us in this place, but he put us in this place with a purpose. Notice in verse 5, it says, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as sleep. In the morning they are as grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourish, it groweth up. And in the evening is cut down and withered. You know, that's your life. When your kids are growing up, you're saying they're growing up like weeds. Yeah, that's the Bible analogy for it. Why? Because those weeds need to mow down. They need cut. They're gone. You may have your favorite dandelion outside and you watched it grow up and it sprung up. Wow, it came up quick. Good dandelion. It's not going to last. It's going to be gone. And if you don't mow it, the homeowners association will come and tell you to mow it. It's not going to last long. You're not going to have that favorite dandelion there year after year after year. Our life is much shorter than what you think. But our life is not purposeless or aimless. We have a small amount of time to do something with it. Notice in verse 7, "For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled." Again, Moses is making reference that God has put a sentence of death over them. They only have a short amount of time, and they're very aware that they're going to have to stand before God because of this. Verse 8, "For thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance." Now that's a big deal. Our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. So many people waste their days with secret sins that they work really hard to hide. They spend a lot of effort to make sure it doesn't get to the light of day. The idea of secret sins here is it's secret to you. It means it's known to you that you've been working hard to keep it secret from everyone else. You don't want anyone else to know. But you know, you're going to stand before God and all is going to be revealed. There's going to be a lot. Can you imagine facing your mom for the things that you watched? Much more important, facing God and trying to explain why you watched this, why you let this, why you read this, why you dwelt on this, why you allowed this in your heart, why you kept nurturing it. We have a purpose and we end up wasting a lot of time. Notice again, verse 9. "For all our days are passed away in wrath, and we spend our years as a tale that is told." Notice that. We spend our years as a tale that is told. You know, when it's all said and done, your life has a message. There's a story behind your life. It's interesting to go to a funeral and to hear someone sum up a person's life in just a short little message. All of your life, but down to a paragraph, sentence, phrase. That's it. If you were to look at your life and to summarize it, what would that message be? Everyone's life teaches a message. Everyone's life ends up having a purpose. Would that message be that they accomplished what God gave to them? Too many people will have this message: they had potential. Potential unrealized doesn't mean a lot. They had potential. What would be the message of your life? If you were to take all of your life and say, "Preacher, you get to preach a message based off of my life, using me as an illustration," what would that illustration be like? You're like, "Pastor, I don't want you to go write me as an illustration." What would your life be like? What is it that if you were to take your life and just take a biography, you got a small little thing, what would it say? Now, some people said, "Well, I didn't climb mountains or slay dragons." It doesn't matter. Could that book be called Faithful? Amen. Or would that book be called Wasted? Could that book say Friend of God? Or would it say Enemy of God? What would the book of your life be? The tale that was told. That when your life's all set up, and that's all it has. When people die, it's all we have left is a short little blurb. "Uncle so-and-so died 30 years ago. What do you remember about him?" You're not going to give an hour-long dissertation about your uncle. You'll be able to summarize his life. Small little period. And so will yours. What is the purpose of your life? What is it that God placed you here? When it's all said and done, what is that tale that was told? You're like, "Pastor, this isn't very encouraging." I'm trying to tell you, it's bringing us to the point. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. You say, "Well, I've got a past." Well, good. Everyone does. The Christian life is a series of new beginnings. Start from where you are and move forward. Say, "Listen, the story of my life is, this is what it used to be. But this is what God did with it now." That's a good story. Look at what God can do with a loser, an outcast, a broken person. Look at what God can do. Look at someone who decided to get serious with God. Look at what God can do. Everyone's life will be a tale that was told by the time it was done. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Notice in verse 10. The days of our years are 70. Remember, 70, so 70 plus 10 is 70. So here the Bible says you get 70 years, you're doing great, but for reason of strength, meaning your body has life and health and strength, you made it to 80. Yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for soon it is cut off. We fly away. Even if you lived up to 80, and with modern technology, we're extending our lifespans way past time that people are still human. That was kind of a joke, but people are living longer. Wonderful if they live longer. But you know, everyone has an expiration date. What are you going to do with it? Verse number 11. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. In my office, and many of you have seen it, I have three jars. I have a white jar that's full of days. Years ago, I calculated with hope how many days I might feel. My goal is now to put more days into it, you know, and start running low. Oh, I feel pretty good. I'm going to get some more days. But calculating how many days I thought I might have left. And then I have a blue jar. And what happens if I use my days wisely, I pop it in the blue jar. If I wasted my days, and again, whatever definition you want to, I did my definition is those days that I knew I was in the flesh and I refused to get right. I wasted that day. I could have used it for the Lord, but I decided to throw a hissy fit and whatnot. So that means that if I took a day off, which jar does that go into? Blue. God wants me to rest. If I decide to spend time with my wife, is that a waste of day?
Nope.
Good. My wife said it was clear on that one. No. So those aren't waste of days. So sometimes for you get in your mind, well, if I take a day off, I've wasted it. No, you do what God's told you to do.
Amen.
And if God said to rest, you rest. Now, for lazy people, ignore that. You need to work. But the red I set aside for those days I get in the flesh and I refuse to get right. You ever have those days? You just know and you just refuse to get right. I want to be in the flesh. Just leave me alone. Well, that's a waste of day. I didn't get anything accomplished. I have missionaries and preachers now that come and they go right to the red jar. They want to see how bad I'm doing. But when it's all said and done, a life worth living is how many do I have in that blue jar compared to the red jar? A life worth living that I lived in the Lord and lived in his presence and followed after him is going to be that blue jar. Did he have a life worth living? Can you show for it? Yes. The string of days. It was a life worth living. So teach us to number our days. Every time I go and put jars in there, these are days. Well, I think I still got some left, but I don't have a lot to waste. I need to use them wisely. So teach us to number our days. By the way, if you want jars, some reason preachers don't even want jars like that, but it may be good, may be wise. And just in case I get little kids with grubby hands, I have a backup jar at home. So that way I'm still doing the same thing, just in case. You know, someone spills my days. No, I need those days. Okay. There's also a third thing we want to see in here. The prayer God hears from us. Notice in verse 13. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. As Moses turns the idea from addressing the people, he turns in prayer to God and says, God, how long till you return? How long till you come back? Let it repent thee. Have compassion upon your servants. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. He could come back at any time. Lord, I need you to have compassion because there's a lot of days that we wasted, a lot of days that we messed up. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. We need to see God's mercy early. God was gracious to me. The least I could do is live for him. As long as you keep thinking that you are the boss of your life and that God's not going to get to you, you don't see your need of a Savior, you're going to continue to waste days. I don't need God in my life. I've got things on my own. You're going to continue to waste days. But when you realize that you are a sinner and you mess up, and the more that you take control of your life, you're going to keep messing it up. I need God to help me out, because that's what changes it, to realize I need God. I can't live my life on my own. I keep messing it up. I try to live it on my own, and I spend all day in the flesh. I try to live it on my own, and I make unwise decisions, and I make a mess out of everything else. That would be going to the red jar, by the way, where I made a foolish decision and I see the consequences of it. That's a waste of day. We need to see God's mercy early. Lord, I need this. I got to stop living my life on my own. I got to stop messing it up. I need your help. Verse 15, make us glad according to the days where thou hast afflicted us. Notice that. Some people try to judge good days by how well they feel. I had a good day. Nothing bad happened to me. God says, no. Teach us to be able to see the afflicted days as good days, because God is working with us. Whether the pain that we feel helps us to realize I need God. Whether the broken heartedness we have turns us to God. Those are not bad days. Those are good days when we realize our need of God, and God allowed these things to happen to us. So again, we're not talking good days, meaning that I don't have anything bad happen to me. It's, did I respond properly to God even in the bad days? Make us glad according to the days where thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein thou hast seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. When it's all said and done, the lives we're living is that we're not just investing in our life, but we're trying to build a better life for the next generation.
Amen.
Not to make things easier, quote unquote, as the world has tried to do, Amen. But trying to leave them a world that's worth living in, that they have the freedom to look at God. They've been taught to follow after God. They've been taught to depend upon God for themselves. That we're trying to live a life because they're going to follow our example. Remember, all of us are examples to someone. Amen. You'll be surprised how many little children look up to you and think you're the greatest Christian. And when you look at yourself and say, well, I'm not the greatest example, they think you are. You have a huge responsibility. You are influencing someone around you who wants to be just like you when they grow up. And you said, I don't want to be like me when I grow up. Amen. Then change. Look at the Lord. Be the example. You know how many kids are influenced by someone who's hurting all the time but has a good spirit? It helps them to go through hard times. If you could forgive this, I know we're recording. You know how many missionaries and evangelists tell me the reason why I'm still in the ministry? Because I watched what you went through and you didn't quit, and so I couldn't quit either. My wife hates that when they say that. She's like, well, I didn't want us to be the example for that. Sorry. But people are looking at you, more people are looking at you than you realize. And you're the example. Are you the example of godliness? You're the example of how to respond in affliction and pain? Are you the example of how to carry on when no one else in their right mind would carry on? Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Verse 17, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. No matter the bad days or the afflictions, that should be the goal, that God's reflected in us, that people can see what a wonderful God they have. Not because my life was pain-free and stress-free, it's because in the middle of all of that, God was real.
Yes, sir.
And they were able to see it. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish it. Here it repeats it. None of us want all of our labor, everything that we work for, just to be blown away. Let the days that I use and that I have count for something and not just be meaningless. Let what I do for the Lord matter. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. We have the stewardship of time. Every single one of us have a responsibility. It is baffling to me to watch people just waste time. I wish they could just give it to me and I could use it.
Amen.
But that's not how it works. People can sometimes look and say, how do you get so much done? You have the same amount of time as I do. What are you doing? 5 hours of Facebook scrolling will not get a lot accomplished. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Some of you have heard the story of Borden of Yale. You may have heard of the Borden milk. It was a huge financial thing, especially at the turn of the century of the 1900s. Borden of Yale, Mr. Borden, still in his 20s, felt God's pull on his life to become a missionary. To become a missionary not just to anywhere, but to Egypt, to the Islamic world. And he inherited a great fortune. And he gave it all away so he could become a missionary. And he wrote in his journal after he gave everything away, he said, no reserves. It's all gone, no backup plan, no reserves. He traveled to Egypt, and there, as he was in language school, contracted meningitis, which just devastated him. And he wrote in his journal, no retreat. He died shortly after that, never becoming the missionary that he was supposed to be. But he believed he was following God's will. And as he was dying, one last journal entry, no regrets. No reserves, no retreat, no regrets. Did he have a life worth living though he died before becoming a missionary? Did he have a life worth living even though it was cut off before he was 30? Did he have a life? Yes, he did. Because he used his life trying to glorify God, following what God's given him to do, and he didn't waste that time. No reserves, no retreat, no regret. This is someone who exemplified, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Here's an example that everyone has a story to tell. And as you look at Borden of Yale, I have his biography in my library. You could summarize his entire life in those three words. No reserve, no retreat, no regret. With those three words as a story of his life, did he have a life worth living? Absolutely. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And again, help us to have good stewardship of time. That you provided this time, you've allowed us to have it, you've given this place and time, that you've given us a purpose in this time. Help us, Lord, to glorify you through it, that we could apply our hearts to wisdom, to realize that we don't have a lot of time left. And what life we have, we need to use it wisely. Help us to think about what is the message of our life. If we were to look back and summarize it now, how would our life be described? I'm asking that you would just help us now to reflect upon you, and that we would make a conscious and purposeful effort every day to apply our hearts to wisdom. Help us to number our days. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness
of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.